I'm jumping right in. I'm like, hey, what happened to the scarf? Were you a bad keeper of scarf?
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
This episode of So What Do We Do is sponsored by FaxZero.com. Send faxes for free online.
And if you click the Fax Congress button right on the main page of Fax Zero, you can send a free fax to your congressperson or senator. Faxes can get through when phone calls don't. And you don't have to use a phone.
Thank you, FaxZero.com. And now, the podcast. Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do?
Yeah, what do we do? I'm Storm, and I'm wondering, what are we going to do?
I'm Angelazer. I'm also wondering. I realize that we have stopped talking about what the podcast is at the beginning. So if you're just joining us, this is a podcast where we talk about the news and then we try to lighten the mood so that we can all have enough energy to go on with our days.
Yeah, we're not going to sugarcoat it, but we're not going to opposite the sugarcoat. I don't know what the opposite of a sugarcoat is. A bitter coat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess last week we talked a lot about cereals, which probably were sugar-coated, but
yeah.
Maybe the opposite of a sugar-coated cereal would be like a shredded wheat or a bran of some kind.
Or maybe like wrapped in kale. Like I like kale. I like kale, and it's good for you,
yeah.
But you don't necessarily want to snack on that, you know, just as it is.
We're not going to sugarcoat it, and we're not going to make you snack on kale as it is.
There we go. That's our promise to you. You know what? I already miss us being. I mean, this is great and all, but I miss that when we were in the same room doing the thing. You know?
I miss it too. We had a good time, and then we went to the mall. I mean, like, what could be better than that?
I know. I haven't been to a mall in a long time, and now if we were to do that again, this is exciting that you will no longer be in Portland, most likely.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, it's the news is out. I'm moving to LA, which is exciting. But they have the Glendale Galleria there. They've got the whatever other place, Americana. That's a mall.
So we could wrap up the podcast and then run errands in style.
Oh boy, it would be fountains and an American Girl doll store. Have you ever been to an American Girl doll experience store?
I haven't, but Paul, my musical and creative cohort, Paul Saborin, has told me quite a bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone there with his daughters, and well, in the past he has. His daughters are no longer in that age bracket. But yeah, it sounds like an amazing experience.
I always really wanted to go when I was a kid, but when I was of American Girl doll age, their only one was in Indianapolis, and we never had any reason to go there.
Yeah.
But I did recently go to one of the ones in L.A. Because
now,
I was
did
just
you,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask if you brought your own doll or did you use one of their loaner dolls?
You know, I didn't do either. We didn't like go to tea or anything. We just kind of walked around and looked at the various offerings there. But
yeah.
It was only about maybe 2 years ago that I got rid of my American Girl doll, Molly. Because my folks were moving out of their house, but she was a very important part of my life. She was my friend and we bought a lot of discount American Girl doll accessories and clothes for her.
Well, that's terrific that was part of your experience. And also, you know, good for you. You know, you're a grown ass woman and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's cool. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Just live the life that you wish you live. I don't know.
You ever wonder like who has the doll now, if they're enriching someone else's life the way that doll enriched yours?
I imagine they are. I know my mom gave it to a cool little kid, so Molly, she was cool. She's a cool lady. Now I have a new friend named Molly. So it
yeah,
all
that's right.
works out.
And,
anyway.
And you buy accessories for her.
Yeah, I'd get her a discount trunk at the antique store because the one from the Pleasant Company costs $200. Stuff like that. Anyway, the moral of that story is that even if you think you're too old to go to the American Girl place, you should still do it because why not live the life that you want to live?
In fact, that's what we should do. If you're out here in the D.C. area or I'm out in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
we're, we should do the podcast live from American Girl store.
Every week. Okay.
I'm sure they'll be pleased with that.
Yeah, what? I don't know how they would stop us.
There are a lot of ways. Number one, call the police.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, should we get into the news storm? Should we do it?
Yeah, what the what? What the what is happening?
What the what is happening?
All right, I'm going to brace you because there aren't a lot of great silver linings this week.
And yeah.
A lot of horror. Yeah. And you know I don't use that word lightly.
Yes.
In this case, I mean it literally. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, yeah, I have two options for my horror offset, and I think I'm going to go with the cuter one because okay. I think we will need it.
Maximum horror abatement, I think, is what we're going to need.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, now, granted, you would have to have been, you know, living under a rock in a cave at the bottom of the ocean to not have seen a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do some conflating in ways that maybe you haven't seen because I'm a conflating machine.
Yeah.
So this general block of headlines is under the heading of political violence and the reaction to it. And it's kind of in two parts. Number one, the headline is Congressman is hit in multiple shooting. And that is, of course, the Steve Scalise and staffers and others who were targeted by someone looking to kill Republicans. And that is horrifying. Horrifying. A silver lining to that is the headline, Ted Nugent says he's seen the light after Virginia's shooting. And we have got to be civil. If the line just extended from that way onward, I feel like we'd be in a good place, you know, not doing any finger pointing about how we got to this place. But the fact is the way out is to for everybody to declare that it's not acceptable. And that would be a great start. So that's block number one. And mm-hmm. if you feel an offset now, we can do that or I can charge through the second half.
Well, I've got a lot of them, so let's go for it. I'm just going to read you descriptions of cat breeds.
Yeah, all right.
Because cats are fun, and there are so many different kinds, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, sure. So an American bobtail has a short tail, tufted ears and toes, and powerful body. The American bobtail has a distinctively wild look. And I really like... it's not this one. But the progenitor, is that the word,
of
the American bobtail was named Yodi.
Yodi.
And his, I suppose, mate was named Mishi. And they were in Iowa. And that's where they came from. So
Was it like Superman? Was there like did Jor-El just send a meteor with these cats into some? Oh, okay. That would explain it then. Is there such thing as a cat of substance? I know there is. Well, I know in dog breeding they use the term a dog of substance. I think meaning not, you know, a fussy little dog that you can use like a throw pillow. You know, a dog of substance that you can use to say hunt or ride to the store. And I wasn't sure if the same thing existed with cats. I would think any cat of that description would be a hazard.
There's a comedian named Amy Miller who talks about cats and about how cats have basically like evolved so that we have to take care of them and feed them, whereas dogs like still have a purpose and we like breed them to be more useless, whereas cats are just like, I'm here, take care of me.
Yeah,
but
not much you can do with a cat, you know, not really.
Yeah, but they have so much value. I think that's what I like about cats is that you have to accept that the reason you have a cat is like emotional. Like
I do not need to be convinced.
Yeah.
just I guess it's the Zen thing, you know, mm-hmm. like the point isn't to do, it's to be. You mm-hmm. know, you be with cat, you know. You do with dog, you be with cat.
I think that is a great point to continue on from. Do with dog, be with cat. Here is the horrifying news.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put a kind of a positive spin on this. It's horrifying, but there is something positive out of it. And was this last night? That there was, the headline is UK police investigating van attack in London as terrorism.
Yeah.
And that was someone who drove up on the sidewalk outside of a mosque as it was letting out of services and ran a number of people over. I believe at least one died and many were injured.
Yeah.
And the only reason there's at all positive, there's increasing recognition that it was for lack of a better term, an ordinary British white dude.
Yeah.
And a recognition now that terrorism is terrorism is terrorism. Violence is violence is violence.
Yeah.
And that one shouldn't just automatically presume that, if it's not someone who is from a group that gets classified bit money as the other, that it's just, they're just a little off. You know, Ted, he's okay. He's just a little angry. No.
Yeah.
That from the outset here, that it's being taken seriously that way. So it's part of this environment. Obviously, it's not in the U.S., but this is not just happening in the U.S., of course. And that's something that is good to remember sometimes, too. The world does not actually revolve around the United States of America.
Which is probably for the best right now.
Yeah. Two more in this block. I know this is pretty tough to get through. Virginia police arrest suspect in abduction, beating, and murder of 17-year-old Muslim girl. This is in my neck of the woods. It's too early. They don't know an awful lot about it, but the circumstances just appears to be that someone just set upon a group of people again, coming out of services from a mosque, not directly outside, and attacking them. And that's horrifying. And the last one is Georgia GOP chairman, shooting will win us the special election. And I...
What?
I hesitated before putting this in here and also on my, my daily news. Don't want to be finger pointing, but that is one of the... We had Ted Nugent saying, hey, let's all back the F off some.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you have in this Georgia special election, which is taking place tomorrow, folks, including the Georgia GOP chairman, basically leveraging it, using the fear that's generated from it, saying, you need us to protect you from them. That's the upshot of this, and not recognizing this as part of the divisiveness that's happening.
Oh, God.
So, and this is sort of rolling right now, and there are groups that are running ads that feature it prominently, among other things. So that is the entire political violence block, and about as heavy as it gets. And once we get to serving suggestions, I do have some things lined up. So this is not something where it's just, let's all dread it. But we can get to that. What do you have, Laser?
I've got a cat called the Havana Brown, which is distinguished by its uncommon head shape. It is longer than it is wide. Just no good transition, but it is a very cute cat. And my favorite thing about this one is that the description is kind of written like the beginning of Hamilton. So it's like, how did a brown cat of Southeast origin, believed to offer protection from evil, come to be known as a Swiss mountain cat? And then how did it then adopt the name Havana Brown? But I feel like you could do that as the opening to Hamilton. It would work out.
It doesn't have, the same wonderful tripping rhyme, but
yeah,
Lin-Manuel, he's seeping into every good corner of the world. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's some of that influence right there.
Yeah, he probably just knows people at cattime.com, and at his spare moments, he comes in and writes.
I'm picturing a cat that looks like Arnold from Hey Arnold.
Yeah. The pictures they have are all very sleepy, which is kind of nice.
Sleepy, wide-faced cats.
Yeah, sleepy, wide-faced cats. Brown. And let's see. They used to be known as Chestnut Foreign Shorthair. They've had many aliases. Oh, this is so delightful. As many aliases as they had, they might well have been Cold War Cuban spies. Okay, cattime.com. Wow. You've got a lot of opinions. I like it.
Wow. I just don't know.
I do not know. Well, the Cat Fanciers Association recognized the breed in 1964. So, there you go. If you see this cat, trust, I guess. I don't know.
they're mysterious creatures. One can never tell.
He can be a good friend to children who treat him nicely. He's one of those cats who enjoys playing fetch and learning tricks. What?
Wow, so much for the be and do. That one just, it's the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, I guess so. Have you ever gotten a cat to learn a trick that wasn't just purely in its own interest?
Well, I'm of the belief that you can't train a cat to do anything that it's not already inclined to do.
Sure.
So I think it's like if you ever see anything about circus cats, that's how they pick them, is they'll go around to shelters and play with them. And if there's something that the cat, you know, turns on, the cat likes to do, then you just do more of that. It's not like you can take a cat that likes to, you know, make omelets and have it be a cat that can build a garden shed. Like, you can't do that. The cat has to want to build a garden shed.
Yeah.
And then you can train it to build a better garden shed than what it would do naturally.
That's good advice for relationships as well. You can't change people.
I believe that's true. You can definitely influence them over time. I believe there are significant changes people can make. Mrs. Storm has done a heck of a good job with me. I'll say that.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of your home, I saw your gardening and rocks are going very well on Twitter, and it looks exciting as heck.
Thank you. It is. I'm having fun. It's actually, I kind of sneaky peeked at some of the listener questions, but that's actually been one of my coping mechanisms.
There you go.
And actually literal coping, if you know what the Carpentry Act of Coping is.
What is that?
We can get to that. Coping is where, usually with like crown molding, like the fancy molding that is up where your wall meets the ceiling.
Yeah.
Where if you just do a regular miter cut, like it's a diagonal cut, when they butt together in a corner, they won't actually mesh because of geometry. So coping is where you're doing very fine joining, cutting away at the edges of these pieces so that they'll mesh properly. So, so with stoneworking, so too. It's not quite the same because it involves things like chisels and patience, but if you want things to look all neat and tidy and stuff, you gotta tighten that up.
Gotta cope.
Gotta cope with it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm fascinated.
Right.
All right. Let's get through some more news while we're here.
Yeah. I think we can zoom through a bit more. This is under Senate behaving badly. Headline one. Senate GOP won't release draft health care bill. We've talked about this in prior weeks. It's still completely secret under wraps in an unusual and extraordinary way. And it's different from the past, and most especially because this involves something major that affects everybody and is taking something away that will directly affect their lives and perhaps end them. And then number two, Senate Republicans crack down on press access. It's been, I don't know the complete history, but just part and parcel of how Congress works, that the press, they're in the hallways and they can ask questions of representatives and senators. And the Senate has said, no, now we don't want to be exposed to that anymore. We don't want to look embarrassed when we're dodging questions. So they've said no more. Yeah. So that's what we have for Senate behaving badly.
That's not great.
No, it's not good. Not good.
Well, there's a cat called the La Perm because it has curly hair. Are you ready for the tale? The epic journey?
Is it more than simply curly?
It's probably possesses magic powers. I don't know exactly. Maybe it's not for us to know. When a brown tabby barn cat named Speedy produced a litter of kittens in the Dalles, Oregon in 1982, one of them was bald with tabby markings on her skin and big ears that were spaced wide apart. She looked a little like an alien from outer space. When her coat began to develop, she looked even more different. It was curly. And that was the name she was given by her owner, Linda Cole. Curly, you know, I guess.
Yeah, normally you take points off for being so on point with a name that way. But for a unique cat as that, yeah, you got to go that way. And yeah. Thank you for pronouncing the Dales. I always see it on the highway sign and never know.
Yeah.
The Dallas? Yeah. Dales?
No, it's the Dales. But we do have a Dallas in Oregon as well, because why not? But the Dells, Oregon, like, we have a lot of alien stuff out here, so I imagine that this is probably actually another cat from a different planet.
There was an old Disney movie back, I mean, way old, like late 70s. The Cat from Outer Space, and that was, I thought that was a pretty terrific title for a movie. I don't think I've ever actually saw it.
You don't need to see movies if they have a good enough title.
No, you can pretty much guess that they just had the title and and did whatever they could.
Yeah.
From there.
All right, what else we got?
Okay, I have another block of stuff and then a potentially good news thing that hopefully we'll be talking about in good terms next week.
Okay.
All right, this block of four headlines is under the title Less High Profile Stuff or less obvious stuff that will have a major impact if left uncontested.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through these. There are mechanisms of government that aren't as big and obvious as things like, emoluments and a potential collusion with foreign powers.
Yeah.
And rolling back. Oh, okay. These things are happening, and they're not as dramatic. Headline one, Mr. Trump goes after the inspectors, and this refers to inspectors general, which at every agency, there is an inspector general that is empowered, much as a special prosecutor is, to root out corruption, wrongdoing, to basically protect the integrity of the government. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, they have certain immunities. It's much harder to fire them. And this article goes through how these programs are being defunded. And like much of the government is going to atrophy if someone resigns, they simply don't replace it. So the level of accountability and therefore the ability to do terrible things with the government or to have the government no longer be a check over time will be diminished if these inspectors general, if their role continues to erode. So that's number one.
Oh, gosh.
Number two, and this one is actually worse. The headline is, this is from The Nation magazine. Trump is appointing racist fake news purveyors to the federal bench. There is, of course, some editorial discretion in that headline.
Yeah.
But having read the article, I kind of agree with it. And this is the notion that, oh, by the way, there's a thunderstorm in my area. So if I cut out, that's why.
Okay. You're still safe?
I'm in my bunker.
Okay.
Okay. So, to this point, the most reliable check on abuses of power and excesses has been the judiciary to this point.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to change that by design, that it requires a lot of judges to significantly alter the courts. However, over the past decade, the Republicans have been withholding filling these judicial seats. So there are a lot that are open. And even despite their ineptitude, the administration has been able to put forth a number of judges, and it will take a long time for them to really affect the courts. But that's something that I expect probably would continue, even if Trump is not there. It certainly would if Pence is there, and has a lot to do with social issues. So that's kind of terrible. And I have two more. I'll make them quick. Education Department says it will scale back civil rights investigations. Again, this is within every government department. There are tools that help keep terrible things from happening, especially when you have charter schools that are already not terribly accountable. If suddenly you're stripping away the ability of these departments to even provide oversight, well, Brown versus Board of Education, the world that existed before then suddenly starts to become something that could rear its head again and across different dimensions, as well as the old ones. And the last headline, Jeff Sessions says, Being soft on sentencing means more violent crime. It's time to get tough again. This is an op-ed that appeared in the Washington Post, which is factually incorrect and basically signals using the cool tools of government to oppress in a way that disproportionately affects people of color, among others. And that is your block of horrible things that creep up on us that aren't as sexy.
That's a great jingle that you wrote, Storm. Block of Horrible Things by Storm D. Costanzo. All right, well, here we go. An eye-catching breed that is still in its infancy, the Devon Rex will make its home in your arms and in your heart. Aww. Just independent enough to be an ideal cat for working families, the Devon will shower its people with love and attention when they are around and stay out of trouble when they are not. And because it sheds very little, it does not shower the home in hair. You see the repetition of the word shower. Here we go. So the cool thing about this cat is that it also looks like a little alien. It's got great big ears that are the size of his little face. It is so cute. The Devon Rex, which I like to think means that it is a dinosaur.
A king dinosaur, for sure.
Yeah.
The king of Devon. The cat dinosaurs. Yeah. You know, for all we know, dinosaurs may have looked like little cats. They say they look like birds.
Yeah.
But who was there? I mean, cats could have had feathers, too, since they found feathers on some with dinosaur remains. I have to make a public service announcement related to this.
Yeah, cats are dinosaurs, too. I really like, I haven't done a lot of research into cat breeds before, but there's a lot, like, they clearly, people do a lot of genealogy on these cats because they have, like, the first cat that officially was named this breed for every cat that I've looked at so far. That's kind of awesome.
Personally, I'm the biggest fan of good old mutt cats. And, and especially getting your cat from a shelter.
Big time.
That breeders, you know, ain't always so great. Ain't always so great. But all these cats and more can be found at your local shelter. Check it out.
It's extremely true. It's very true. We went to a cat show, and it was all, like, purebred, very fancy. But there were a few little mutts, and they are very cute. And also, cats are adorable. That's message. It's my message to you.
Are you ready for this last thing? The last thing that is a potential bright spot here on top of this gloomy, gloomy cake.
Yes.
This is from the Department of Gerrymandering.
Ooh.
And the headline is Supreme Court to hear potentially landmark case on partisan gerrymandering. And this has been bubbling up through the courts. The idea being you now have many, many states, most of them red states, not all of them, where the representation is very much out of skew with the actual voting by party, where you can have 60% of the people voted one way, only having representatives representing, you know, 40%, effectively giving the minority a supermajority, which confers great power.
Yeah.
And to this point, it's been the law of the land that that doesn't matter, that if it was gerrymandering for political purposes, it didn't matter. It was only if it caused harm, I think, to a protected class that action could be taken. And some lower courts have said, no, at this point, it's becoming a threat to the legitimacy of our government. And it's now going to be up to the Supreme Court who decided to take the case. So even when they take the case, of course, typically they hear arguments from one side, the other asks their questions. And there's a gap of time before they actually make a ruling. I've not read enough to know if they're actually going to fast track this or not. But that's something that, again, it could be immediate. In some of these lower court cases, they've said you got to redraw your districts, and the states have refused to do it. Appeal. So it actually could have a very direct effect, most immediately on the 2018 election. So,
wow,
that's what we got for what the what. That's what.
Good what the wedding, Storm.
There was a lot of what this week. I had to leave a lot of what out, got to tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate your work in finding the what's this week. We have a couple questions here. Would you like to read the first one, Storm, in one of your patented Storm reading questions voices?
Yes. Are these both anonymous?
Yes, they are from listeners.
Super. First listener.
I am in a pretty blue place, and so I just keep asking, quote, will anything I do, marches, calls, actually make a difference, or am I just going through the motions to self-soothe?
Wow. It was like maybe like some sort of fantasy creature that lives in a cave.
I think that's about where my head was. And that was not at all, I was literally reading that question for the first time. So that was not an editorial choice. It was just the first
place. No, I like it. And I like to think that that creature living in the cave also really wants to make a difference.
They do. And they're in the cave. They're like, you know what? Being out there, not so great. I'm staying in the cave. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is what our listener is thinking and feeling. I feel this sometimes as well.
Yeah.
And I do believe that these things do make a difference, and that I think there are times when they make more of a difference. More and more, I think that empowering your reps, making sure they know that you are supporting them, especially when there's an issue, is important. Concentrating efforts makes a big difference too when something big comes up. Mm-hmm. But does absolutely everything that you do make an immediate impact? No, and that's what makes it so difficult. That's what makes it so difficult. And right now, it's even more difficult because there are a limited number of direct opportunities.
Yeah, the way I think about it with like marches and calls and stuff, I think if you're being quiet, you are one of the number of people who think that that whatever is happening is fine enough for you not to make an action. And if you do speak up or march or call, you are maybe just one of a large number, but you are one of a large number who care enough to do something, as opposed to adding to silence and complacency. So obviously, there's one side of that that you want to be on, even if it feels like you're just a drop in the pool, you're at least in the right pool.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel it's a sort of thing where the gains are going to be small. It takes the amount of gains for the effort are going to be small for a while. And I think it's all leading mostly up to the 2018 election.
Yeah.
But that it takes a constant pressure to keep things from slipping backwards. And mm-hmm. it does matter. Like, there, one thing I didn't include, there was this whole Megyn Kelly interview of the alt-right guy. I'm not even going to name him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's believed that, you know, it's still aired. But the fact that there was such a hue and cry, both directly, you know, to the media. And, of course, this isn't politicians, but all of this fits together.
Yeah.
But it affected how they presented the piece, and that it at least mitigated some of what the damage could have been done. And so, too, when these measures come up, just knowing that there are people who are willing to get out there to jam up the phones when something goes really bad, or get in the streets and peacefully protest, that all of that really does matter. And if it all just falls silent, then those who just want to steamroll will feel empowered to do so, and they will. So,
yeah.
Doesn't mean, you know, every moment of every day has to be dedicated, but it does matter.
Yeah, I agree. I think silence is pretty loud, especially to those friends of ours. I mean, anybody who is being painted with a certain brush by racists or the various oppressive forces in our government. So, like, just making sure that people know that you don't agree with that, or even if, you know, if you are a person who people are trying to silence with terrorism and all of this, showing that you won't, just existing can be a defiant an act, and daring to be happy and daring to be heard. So,
yeah. And when you do run across people, reasonable people, with whom you may disagree, there are still opportunities to engage. It is getting harder, but I think the great thing is to not view people who disagree with you as the enemy, and actually plays into something I have for a serving suggestion a little later.
Excellent. All right, we have one more question. Storm, are you ready?
I am. Is this actually worse? Or does it just feel worse because internet? Like, I can't imagine this is worse than the Civil War, but maybe it is.
Okay. I like that guy. That was a great question. That was a great question voice.
He was sort of a half-prospector. Half-prospector.
Yeah, like half-prospector, but his mom was a prospector. His dad was like just like a shopkeeper.
I was just thinking that, like a general store, a purveyor of of hard candies and shovels.
So prospector adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe picked up some of the prospector ways. Storied prospector ways, much like the hobos. The prospectors had a code. Oh, there's a question here.
Yes.
Yes. Always sort of, you make comparisons to, say, the Watergate era and certainly the Civil War.
Yeah.
No, of course, right now it is not worse than the actual Civil War, the U.S. or other. I think there are valid comparisons to the atmosphere in this country compared to what it was in the Civil War. And actually, I have studied the Civil War quite a bit, many, many aspects of it. And not just the U.S. Civil War, but I feel like the worst conflicts come when you have two sides that have an absolute belief that they are correct in all things, and that there becomes a demonization of the other side, of just believing the worst in the people that you view as your opponents, and pairing that with the idea that your side will prevail and the other side will cede if we just have one big push.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are seeds of that. And it's actually why violence is concerning, because the political processes are set up so we don't have to settle differences by punching and by shooting and knives and swords. Like, that's the whole point, is the assumption that, you know what, we're all better if we live and benefit from what one another can do with our minds and our bodies and our hopes and our dreams. That's the optimistic view of it.
Yeah.
So, but is it worse than it was 10 years ago? Yeah, I think it is. Does the internet play a part in it? Almost certainly. And it's sort of a funny thing. I don't know. What do you feel? Do you feel like it's better that we have this ability to connect with one another, or has it created something where we are just becoming more entrenched in our circles and have less need to go outside of them?
I think the being able to find like-minded or similar people on the internet is hugely two-sided. And I don't know if there's a way to know if it's more good than bad or more bad than good. Like, folks of a marginalized population are able to find each other and be themselves and, you know, join communities of people who have found themselves like oppressed because of their gender identity and didn't know that there were other people who felt them like them, and they're able to find those communities, and it's been hugely helpful for a lot of people I know. But then there's also, if you are hateful and have certain opinions one way, you can also be super radicalized, I guess, by finding only people who agree with you. So, well, it's both things.
Although among the group that have the positive experience of finding their communities where people understand them.
Yeah.
Is there also a hazard that once you've found that, that you would then feel like you can tune out anything else? And is there a gear that maybe could be between, like, once you have that and have that grounding and that base and that family, a way to reach beyond? And I don't have the answer on what that is.
I don't either. I mean, I definitely find myself, and I think a lot of us do, especially those of us whose jobs are on the internet, in this place where we only connect with people we know and those people don't live near us. And then you forget how to be a person around other people. And I'm always surprised at how pleasant it is to go meet strangers and talk to them, and people who maybe don't have the exact same cultural touchstones or opinions. but you can actually go be a person in the real life with people, and it's okay. I don't know. It's complicated.
It sure is. but I do feel like just asking the questions and pondering them may not yield a direct result, but at least if you're thinking about it, you know, you don't fall back on the worst.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's head into a quick musical break. And now our sponsor.
Yeah, this week. So, What Do We Do? Is sponsored by Fax Zero.
At FaxZero.com, you can send 5 free faxes a day, up to 3 pages each, to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, including to your elected representatives.
Click that Fax Congress button on Fax Zero's main page, and you'll get to the special Fax Congress page, where they have lists of the reps' names. They update them regularly. Click any of the links, and that rep's name and fax number are pre-filled for you. In fact, there was someone who tweeted to us on our Twitter account saying they had done so, and it was terrific.
Yes. Fax Zero has sent more than 15 million faxes since 2006, some of them sent by So What Do We Do listeners, and not of all of them, to Congress.
And for additional faxing needs, you can choose to pay $1.99 per fax for longer faxes, or if you want to send more than 5 a day.
Thank you, FaxZero.com. So, Storm, we've been talking
laser.
For a while. Yep, that's what my voice is like now. I wanted to have just a couple fake conversations where we try to talk about difficult things and try to start conversations about difficult things.
Sure.
But I don't actually have real difficult things. I have some discussion topics that I just came up with that we could maybe just practice, play around and play in the space. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's throw it at the wall and see what the flagpole says.
Yeah. All right, flagpole, are you listening? Here we go. So, Storm, say, for example, your friend just lost her favorite scarf and you feel like you want to say something.
Uh-huh.
But you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
What? There's no wrong answers here on So What Do We Do right at this moment. How would we start that conversation with a friend who lost their favorite scarf?
I'm jumping right in. I'm
do
like,
it.
Hey,
do it.
Hey, what happened to the scarf? Were you a bad keeper of scarf? What?
Okay, well, you're right. Yeah, keep going. We'll loop up. We'll ask the flagpole in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because first there was a scarf, then there's no scarf. I know you like that scarf.
Mm-hmm.
Is it incompetence? Or was it something like forgetfulness? Or did you not actually like that scarf?
Oh.
Did I do it right?
So, Storm, I feel like we got to start by knowing what the goal is of the conversation.
Oh.
To me, the goal would be to make a friend feel better.
And I'm not friend. Yes.
I'm not sure we accomplished that with your example. But I know you're trying to look for truth, which is very you. You're trying to figure out what happened. But if our goal is instead of trying to find the truth and have all the information, which might be more satisfying for us, but you know, we instead went to try to make the friend feel better, which may not always involve getting all the information. This is actually a very good lesson, Storm.
Okay, let me try another.
Yeah, okay.
Let me try another one.
Do you want that one, the same one again, or do you want a new one?
Give me a new one, because now I can go back and try again.
No, I'll give you another one. Okay, so you see on Twitter, your friend has just posted that they're very sad because their favorite superhero was kidnapped in their favorite comic book. So they're like, oh no, where is She-Hulk? Something bad happened to her in the comic book. And I'm sad. What do you say to your friend?
All right, I'm going to try to apply the lesson from the scarf incident.
Okay.
Hey, Sheila, I saw that the green nougat was kidnapped. There are a lot of other great superheroes, you know. That one, frankly, wasn't great. But, you know, I know you're sad about that.
Okay.
So, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the green nougat might never be coming back. But it's cool. You want some nachos?
I like the nachos option. That's nice.
Okay. So that was good, right? I nailed it.
I thought there was a lot good going on there. You show that you cared. You provided an opportunity to be there for your friend, which I think is super important.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you notice that at one point you said that the Green Nougat wasn't a very good superhero?
Well, Green Nougat isn't a good superhero.
I see. And this is a continued...
In my opinion.
And there's a continued focus on truth and speaking your whole mind, which I think is good. But I also think that maybe that would hurt your friend's feelings or not give them a positive feeling. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's important to be truthful and to say how you feel. But I also think that sometimes if somebody's really hurting, you want to focus more on their feelings than the truth about your comic book opinions.
I think I know what you're saying. Do you have one more?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So your friend got a bad haircut and you run into her and she's really sad.
All right. Is this the same friend or is this a different friend?
This is still Sheila, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Sheila's a pretty good friend.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Sheila. Wow. Wait, do I know that she's bummed about her haircut?
Yeah. So Sheila says like, my hair looks terrible and I just, everything is never going to work out for me ever again. I'm so stupid. I made such a bad choice.
Oh, Sheila, no, the hair, I know, but you know, sometimes you get a haircut and it's not such a good haircut and, you know, it just happens. I had this bad haircut once. I mean, the worst. I didn't come out of my house for a year because of it. That doesn't mean you have to do that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have much to distract you now that the green nougat's not around. So, I wouldn't sweat it. I'll get you a new scarf.
It's
all gonna be cool. We'll get nachos. And you know what? I know this doesn't help, but we're gonna shave your head, and I'm gonna shave my head too.
Oh.
And we're just gonna have a nacho shave head party, right?
What? I mean, that sounds like a really good party. I like that.
I'm ready to shave my head. I'm ready.
You're always there for your friend, Storm. You're really there for Sheila, and I appreciate that.
All right.
I thought that was, I like maybe offering to help in a way where they are allowed to say no and still have a positive outcome to the conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe can I help in any way? For example, would shaving my head help? And then Sheila can assess whether that she thinks that would fit her needs.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine why someone wouldn't want to shave their head, but I can see that as being a valid thing.
See, some people have different approaches to what would make them happy, and that's what makes the world so beautiful. Because if we all wanted exactly the same thing to make us happy, then there would be no more of that one thing anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of truth. That's pretty great.
I have one more that I'm having a great time, so I want to hear you approach this.
Sure.
So your friend, this isn't Sheila, this is somebody else. Your friend really hated the Wonder Woman movie and won't stop talking about how much they hated the Wonder Woman movie. And they're wrong. Mm. How do you start a conversation with them? You know that them talking crap about the Wonder Woman movie is hurting your friend Sheila.
So is that my chief concern in this conversation? Is that I want him to not piss off Sheila?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just maybe it's hurting you. It's hurting your feelings. It hurts my feelings.
I liked the Wonder Woman movie a lot. So Brad has just told me his opinions about Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that the situation?
Yeah, he won't stop.
Brad is like blah blah blah, and they're all like, "I'm fighting, and I'm a woman."
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just classic Brad.
That guy. I mean, it is no wonder that he and Sheila are like oil and magnets.
Yeah.
Like no relationship to one another. Hey, Brad. You know, I know that you didn't enjoy the movie. I respect that. But I really did kind of like it. No, I definitely did like it. And you are entitled to your opinion. And I think that's terrific. But look at Sheila over there. She lost her scarf. She's bald now. And it's just kind of bringing her down. And I don't want to bring you down because I know, you know, you can't be brought down because you bring you down. You're like a tiger inside a bomb.
Yeah.
And nobody likes that. But we like you, Brad. And so why don't we just agree to not discuss this particular movie for a bit? And maybe another time. And what do you say to some nachos and we shave our heads?
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. You have irreconcilable differences, it seems like. So you're going to go find something you agree on, like nachos and shaving your heads, which is one of those things that everybody can agree on.
Oh, me and Brad do that every year.
Yeah.
So that was a sure thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that went well, Storm. What about you?
I feel pretty good.
What did you learn?
I feel bad. I learned that Sheila, Sheila might need a little time to deal with her stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there for her. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's what she needs to get around this. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a line to it, too, whether it's Brad or Sheila, that, you know, I'm going to let them know. If they've kind of gone a little far, I'm going to let them know that.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not going to let that simmer up too much so that we don't just become angry with each other and steal one another's scarves. By the way, I happen to know that Brad stole Sheila's scarf.
Brad.
Yeah. So I think I did learn something today.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well, let's hop into our serving suggestions then and wrap up. So what do we do?
Yeah, actually, dear listener, we don't coordinate these. You may not believe it. Well, I'll go with the one that doesn't coordinate it.
Okay.
Coordinate, so you'll know that we didn't coordinate it. This one was listed first. If you live in the state of Georgia in the United States, tomorrow, Tuesday, maybe today if you're listening to it, vote. Vote. You have a special election. There is a fellow named John Ossoff who is running, who, in my opinion, you should vote for. And it's a special election. Most pundits say we should not be reading too much into it. But for a certainty, if there are more Democrats in the House, then there can be less of the complicity with the really bad stuff that's happening, in my belief. If you do not live in the state of Georgia in the United States, please encourage those who do, those among your friends, whether they are of the same opinion of you or not. And that can be done person to person. It can be done online, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like that's a good thing. And if it's Wednesday when you listen to this, don't sweat it. There will be more elections in the future and plenty of things to do. So that's serving suggestion number one.
I have a question, Storm. So I'm trying to think about this. So if I had a friend in Limerick, Georgia, and I do, I'm trying to think of the text message I can send them that seems nice but also encourages them to vote, like not in a condescending way or something. I was thinking about something like, holy crap, just heard about your special election. How are you feeling about that? Or something like that.
Yeah, or even something as simple as, hey, heard you got the only election in the country tomorrow. Gonna vote? Wink.
Yeah.
Maybe not wink. Maybe whatever cool emoji your friend would respond to. Pizza. Most people like pizza.
Nachos.
Nachos. I don't think there's a nacho emoji. There should be.
Yeah.
Sushi. I know there are plenty of sushi emoji.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just
Yeah, definitely. A simple little nudge. Mm-hmm. A little nudge.
How about that election? Am I right? Like that?
Yeah. Lol.
Lol.
Coney 2012.
Oh, no. What else we got?
All right. This is, it's not a specific thing and should seem obvious. I mean, Mr. Rogers was telling us this sort of thing mm-hmm. when we were dribbling into our onesies. Don't tolerate violence or violent rhetoric. And that doesn't mean you should not express your disagreement or dislike of things, and policies, and behaviors. And it used to be that common sense dictated where that line was. But only if everyone believes that violence does not have a place in political discourse, especially, can something be done about it. So I don't know. I didn't think beyond that statement as far as how that would play out.
Yeah.
I don't know if whether your friends in Georgia or somewhere else. I think it's just being consistent with it, being consistent with that. Yeah.
Violence is the resort of the toddler who can't figure out a way to work within the rules. So let's all just try to figure out a way to make it work where we don't kill anybody. That's my opinion.
It's little controversial, but I'm in with you.
Okay.
I'm in with you on that all the way. And the last one I have is also a general one, and it does tie with what some things we talked today, which is try to assume the best in others, and especially the people that maybe you do not feel that they are assuming the best in you.
Yeah.
And it could be a very hard thing to do. I'm still working on the wording on this. Laser, you check me how it's progressing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm just going to read it straight off the prep sheet here. Before presuming how someone views your place in their narrative, ask yourself where they fit in yours.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. There's a lot of it that where you have assumptions about how people think about you, and a lot of how we feel about approaching the world assumes that other people are looking for your weaknesses and thinking about how they feel about you.
Yeah, and you build up in your mind how you believe other people believe, and then you start to act on that.
Yeah.
And I do think this is where the internet can be problematic, in that we all have echo chambers, not just political, but with across all everything.
Yeah.
That you can dig into that, and other people that maybe believe the same thing about how those other people think about us. That it can be, it can dig that Gollum cave, and then we're all down in the muck looking for a ring that just ain't there, because Bilbo took it.
Ain't that just the way?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Well, that's so. What do we do this week? Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for people who are talking to us on Twitter, including Kevin Savetz and Sarah Weiler and Tom the Fanboy. And Brian Tatosky. We got a bunch of people who are using Fact Zero and talking to us about it, which is just awesome. So thank you so much for tuning in there. We also have the So What Do We Do Facebook group, and we're on iTunes and all of your podcast places. Leave a review or just share it with a friend if you'd like.
Yeah, so go get it wherever it's convenient for you. And thank you for listening. I don't know if we've really said that enough. We haven't. And
I don't think so.
Our listenership is growing, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And this is big episode 10, right?
10. I know,
that's
10.
That's a good number.
Thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to us. I would just like to talk to Storm every week, and I love that you like to listen to it too, people. So,
yeah.
Thank you for making it worth our while to do this, because it's very fun. Feel free to send us questions on Twitter at So What Do We Do Pod, or we have an ask.fm page, ask.fm/So What Do We Do Pod. And be nice to yourself and to other people.
Yeah, do something nice for both yourself and for other people. It can be a small thing. Mm-hmm. Just be smiling at someone who looks like they can use a smile.
Yeah.
and get some nachos and shave your head.
Or yes, if you want to.
If you want to, if that's your thing. Up to you. It's fun. It's fun.
Bye-bye.
If you're getting scared when you read the news, don't despair, ask, so what do we do?